If you talk to a scientist, any scientist, it's likely they'll have a story like Brandon Stell's.
I'm an electrophysiologist, which means that I'm recording from brain cells, and we're using amplifiers to amplify small electronic signals, and often this is put onto an oscilloscope. And I remember looking at the oscilloscope traces when I was a graduate student, thinking, man, if that trace would just get a little bit bigger, this would be a Nature paper, right?
Nature is a major scientific journal.
I never did that, but I could easily see how this could happen.
A colleague of mine asked me to change the label of the figure instead of redoing the experiment.
Claire Ribeau trained in neurobiology and recalls an incident from when she was a PhD student.
We needed to rerun the simulation with other parameters, and my collaborator who was in charge of doing that, he said, well, just don't rerun the simulation, we just change the parameter on the label of the figure. I was very surprised. So I didn't react immediately, but then just the day after, I said, no, come on, we cannot do that.
The world of scientific research is competitive.
There are many, many, many PhD students who get graduated, much more than the university can absorb. So indeed, there is a huge competition to get a position in France, but everywhere. And researchers, when they get a position, they also need to look for funding. So there's a huge competition to get funding for doing research. This pushes them to improve, embellish their results, and then you drift towards producing results that are no longer reproducible.
Authors are putting the most positive, best spin on anything they publish in order to try to get that into the so-called best journals. I think this is something that every scientist faces.
Stell is an American neuroscientist working for the French National Scientific Research Center, the CNRS. He's been in France for 12 years, but even with a secure job and an established career, he still feels the pressure to publish.
Every time there's a decision about whether or not to continue funding the lab, one of the things that is a large factor is where you've published.
Publish or perish, as it's been called. But why does it matter so much where your research is published? Publications have become a kind of shorthand for decision makers, which are often committees of other scientists.
And the committees need to decide, you know, whether or not we have potential to continue to be a good scientist. And so in order to make that assessment, one of the best indicators is what we've done in the past. But that's a difficult thing unless everybody on the committee is an expert in your particular field. And so one shortcut is to look at the journal where they published, okay? And they've invented this assessment metric called the impact factor.
The impact factor is a measure of the scientific journal's quality, and it's a number that takes into account the average yearly number of citations to recent articles. And it's been used as a way to rank journals.
Publishing in these better journals makes it easier for a committee to say, well, they published in this and that journal, therefore they have done good science, they have a potential for doing more good science.
But as Stell and other scientists say, the problem with this system is it provides an incentive for scientists to embellish their results or to be selective in what they include in their papers for publication.
Things start getting swept under the carpet to make, you know, nice stories that are going to make the journals happy, and then, you know, the quality of the science suffers.
If you go back to some of the early research that was done on circulation in the rat brain, for instance, done in Scandinavia in the 50s and 60s, very, very high quality research. They did all the right things, and we seem to have lost that.
Malcolm McLeod is a neuroscientist at the University of Edinburgh who for the past decade has been studying how scientists conduct animal studies.
Research has changed from something that scientists go into a room and lock the door for 10 years and come out with their pivotal salient paper that they're sure about, to something which is much more if you like, a small-c commercial endeavour. There's a business in the lab. The business involves getting grants in, being able to hire people, pay their salaries.
And those grants are determined by committees that use publication and high-impact factor journals as the measure. McLeod's focus on animal studies have shown that they should be set up with the same rigour as human studies. They should include measures like double-blinding or randomization. He says that even genetically identical animals that have been brought up the same way will still behave differently. But solutions to avoid bias like randomization take time. Time away from publication.
I think people have learned and people get mentored into understanding that there's ways of doing experiments which are more likely to get you a result that you can publish. Don't randomize it, don't blind it.
Over the past several years, scientists around the world have started to recognize the flaws in the publication-based system to determine scientific merit. In France, a wake-up call came in 2015. Olivier Voynet, a rising star in the world of plant biology, was forced to retract 7 articles and issue corrections for 21 others because he manipulated their publication. Universities and research institutes around the world have put in place research integrity officers to try to avoid such problems and deal with them when they come up. And on national levels, countries have opened national offices of research integrity. France launched its own such office this year. Olivier Le Gall heads the 12-person council overseeing it. The office came about after about a decade of discussions.
There has been a history of reports who were pointing at the necessity of different measures. And one of them was that there would be research integrity officers in the universities and in the research bodies.
Today, out of about 70 French research institutions, only about 20 have research integrity officers. The National Research Integrity Office will support them. It's an oversight body, says Le Gall.
It's not really a police. We are not going to put anyone in jail. We are not going to do an investigation on specific cases. We have been established as a department of the Agency for Research Assessment. So this position is a good one in order to directly impact what do we look at when we evaluate research for promotions for and so on.
So at this point, you may wonder why all of this matters outside of the scientific community. One reason is that a lot of scientific research gets funded through public money. France's 2018 national budget includes 8.4 billion euros for university research. Le Gall says citizens should be concerned about where that money is going. Plus, he says bad science erodes trust, and scientists are increasingly fighting for legitimacy today. Take climate change, which has been called into question by climate change deniers.
In these times of transitions, climate, science will not be the solution, but will provide solutions. And these solutions have to be solid and robust and shared with the society.
France might be moving forward on monitoring integrity issues, but Claire Ribrault, the neurobiologist whom we heard from earlier, finds it slow going. She co-founded an organization to train researchers to reflect on their research practices called the Atelier des Jours à Venir, the Workshop of the Future.
I'd say that we are quite late in dealing with this issue. I feel that there is still, of course, there are things are moving. We now have an office for research integrity, but most universities don't have a proper office for research integrity. Training have become mandatory, but somehow this is not how it's implemented.
She works with individual scientists. And yet there's only so much you can do as an individual. The problem is systemic, which Ribrault says becomes clear in the results of her training programs.
Some of the PhD students whom we train, they change their behavior in the lab. For instance, they take on their own to redo an experiment that their boss didn't want them to do. But this is, I would say, like maybe 15% of the students who take part of the trainings. We really see that most of them still are kind of stuck or struggling.
Struggling in a system that may be on the verge of changing because of technology. Brendan Stell, the American neuroscientist working for the French National Center for Scientific Research, sees the internet as a way to revolutionize the way scientific work is commented on and published. He founded a website called PubPeer, where scientists discuss published research anonymously. When he launched the site in 2012, he didn't expect how it would ultimately be used.
I was, anticipating us having these kind of nuanced discussions of interpretation, and all of a sudden there was this flood of, fundamental problems with papers.
In fact, in the case of Olivier Voynet, the French plant biologist forced to retract several papers, many of the problems were revealed by PubPeer users. Stell says he was surprised that the site was being used in this way, but it's turned out to be useful for a scientific community coming to terms with the flaws in its evaluation system. PubPeer and sites like it are part of the Open Science movement, which aims to make scientific research and data accessible to everyone, scientists and non-scientists alike. Stell says scientists should be able to publish their work anywhere.
Put it on your website, write it on your, garage door at home, wherever you want. As long as there's a centralized place for scientists to come and discuss that and form their own opinion on it, then that's all that matters. And then that stuff can be commented on PubPeer or other websites, and there can be a crowd assessment by other scientists to decide the quality of the science instead of what journal it was published in.
Peer review by the masses. Olivier Legal, the head of the council overseeing the French Office of Research Integrity, hopes open science is the future in France.
It's a big transition in the scientific communities. So, of course, the Office for Research Integrity is not going to be the big thing that's going to move towards this direction, but it's a direction where research communities are going anyway, and we need to go in this direction.
Sarah Elzis, RFI, Paris.